Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Welcome to the eMind. I have a very special guest today, and we're talking about an important topic about graduate school. So Dr. Brian Shook, great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Yes, and I pronounced everything right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, lots of people say, what in the world would entrepreneurship and school have to do with each other? Because let's face it, some people, in fact, I'm not even joking, a week, 48 hours ago, I'm part of this group, and the guy said, my son is not wired for college. What should he do? And yet so many people jumped in and said, it's not just about the degree.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
So give us a little bit of feedback on what your current role is.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about how entrepreneurship might have a role with that.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for having me here today. This is exciting to chat about this. So my role here at Cedarville is I'm the Assistant Vice President for Graduate Enrollment, basically Director of Admissions for the graduate school.
Yeah.
And so we have about 550 graduate students, both wow. in the online and residential landscape. So
that's a lot. That's more than some colleges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very, very blessed and a lot of diverse programs that we have
yeah.
available. Looking at why and how entrepreneurship and graduate school exist, I mean, I look back at my own graduate career, and my degrees are all in music.
I'm right.
a classical trumpet player by training. And so when I went to graduate school, the whole purpose was to study with basically one individual. I took classes too, but really I wanted to get mentored by one individual. His name was David Hickman.
Okay.
World-class trumpet player and teacher.
Really?
And but during those studies, of course, I learned a lot about music and trumpet playing and
yep.
teaching. But when it got time for me to, when I got into my doctorate and it came time to do my final project, write a dissertation, you know, the question was, what do I do? Do I do something quickly to get done fast, or do I do something that has maybe longer term value to it?
Oh, that's good.
And as a student, the student perspective is like, I want to get out of here. I've been in school for so long. I want to get done. But being in graduate school, of course, my mentor, I'm sure, told me many times the value of doing something more long term, but I still was struggling with that. And so one day I ran into the trombone professor who, you know, I had worked closely with as a graduate student, and we were just chatting one morning, and I said, you know, what do you think I should do here? You know, from
the fast way or the smart way,
right? And
yeah.
getting another perspective from someone who had a wealth of experience,
yep,
is what graduate school can do. You can tap into a lot of different resources that are right. Literally, he was his office was right next to mine, so he was right next door, and you know, he said, Brian, you can do either one and you're going to be successful with either. But if you want to look down the road at other opportunities and what this could open for you, strongly consider writing a biography. That was down to two different opportunities. One was to do a catalog of important documents, historical documents, or to write a biography of a world famous orchestral trumpet player.
Wow.
And so he said, you know, write this biography. And so, and I'm sure he said the exact same thing that my mentor had been telling me, but he said it in a different way.
Okay.
And that's the great thing about graduate school. You have all these professors.
Mentors.
You have mentors who say the same thing in different ways.
That's good.
And, you know, we all learn differently.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, so I chose that, and you know, my mentors were exactly correct that opened a lot of doors for me professionally. And when we're looking, when employers are looking at applications, they look for distinctives on the resume.
Mm.
And if I had done the fast route, I would not have been very distinctive on my resume.
Gotcha.
But doing that longer term project was a tremendous amount of work. And then turning it into a book, a published book through UNT Press.
Wow.
That set me apart from other candidates, you know, getting through that initial screening of application resume point is the most difficult part. And so graduate school really unlocked that for me. And this one particular instance, but in so many more too.
So it's almost like, again, the purpose of this podcast is called the E-Mind, mm-hmm. how to think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. Mm-hmm. But in your grad school season, you mm-hmm. chose to think like an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You could have been safe. You could have done and successful, but you chose something that was a little risky and more work. And as a result, you set yourself apart.
Right.
I love that. Yeah. You know, being in grad school myself, I think what it does is it enriches you. Yeah. Like you said, you get a lot more perspective. Right. I think one of the worst things in the world is to be a young entrepreneur without anyone being a truth teller.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whether it's, hey, I'm going to go out and I see this a lot. Young entrepreneurs, they're like, oh, I'm just going to go out and buy a lot of equipment. You know, I'm going to buy all the nice lights and videos and cameras and all this stuff. And then they're not successful because they think that success is buying equipment. Whereas a mentor could be like, don't buy the equipment, mm-hmm. focus on sales or something. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the average type of student that comes to Cedarville grad? Like, are they single? Are they married? Are they staying on campus? Are they graduates of the undergrad Cedarville? What do you think?
Yes. It's all of those. Yeah. The adult learner is there is not one a single profile that you can say that's typically like this. So we have about 50% of our students are Cedarville alum because they know us and they're familiar. And they can take up to two classes in their senior year, part of their block tuition.
Wow.
Two graduate classes without any extra cost. So they can kind of get a head start on their
I did not know that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So we have a lot of students who continue on, and then we have, you know, some pathway programs that they can finish their undergraduate and graduate in 5 years. So that, you know, accelerated pathway. So that can, that's another reason why we have alum that.
So it doesn't need to be this high cost, high time.
No. And like I said, half of our programs are online so that you can graduate and move on and get started in industry, but still continue your education part-time, even if you want to. But anyway, so we have students that come from all walks of life, some who, you know, maybe are changing careers or maybe they've retired and they said, you know what, I'm going to get more involved in my church and the leadership role. So I'd like to get a ministry degree. So I can be more equipped to help out in my local church. So it really, I mean, as I read through applications, I mean, everybody's story is so different.
That's cool. Yeah,
so I love that variety.
Well, and I'm somebody who's a lifelong learner. I mean, you're looking at my bookcase here. And I mean, you know, I'm currently studying a marketing book, but over Thanksgiving, I just watched biographies.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I do cycling. So
right.
I feel like if you are a lifelong learner, you can make it work.
Yeah.
You know, like commuting, mm-hmm. you can be listening to audiobooks.
Oh yeah.
I don't buy into this excuse, like, well, I don't have any time.
Right.
Right. So let's talk about your dad. Cause before we started this show, this was a really cool story. Your dad, first of all, what did he do as his quote day job?
So his day job, which was 24/7, he was a cardiovascular and thoracic surgeon.
Wow.
And so you want to talk about somebody who doesn't have time.
What is a thoracic?
So lungs and chest.
That's right.
Yeah.
So heart and lung surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think, well, what does a surgeon have to do with entrepreneurship? Well, he was involved in some leading things as technologies came out. You know, he was involved in those things and he developed some things medically. Where I saw that come into the home was, you know, one day he was frustrated with our electronic trash compactor. And he said, there's got to be a better way because this thing keeps breaking. So in his spare time,
yeah,
right, he started thinking about, well, how can I make this work? So he talked to some engineers and developed a trash compactor. And then people said, hey, that's really interesting. I like one of those.
We got to stop here. Folks, you got to catch this. The guy had a safe, secure job, career. He had everything going for him. But he ran into a problem.
Right.
And the problem, he could have easily said, well, not my problem. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of entrepreneurs, he had his mind open and he said, mm-hmm. I'm going to solve this thing. He solved it. Mm-hmm. And then other people said, I want one.
And he didn't know. He wasn't like an engineer that said, I know the solution. He said, I want to figure out what it is. So talk about a lifelong learner.
That's great.
Here's somebody who was in, I don't even know how many years he was in school, 15 years, I don't know, including residency and everything. Yeah. So he had studied a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He had been to school.
Oh, yeah.
But then anyway, so he went on and developed this trash compactor. It turned into an industrial strength compactor, you know, to crush oil filters and all kinds of stuff. So it turned into an actual business, not just a hobby, not just a side thing, but a business.
Wow.
And my brother now runs that business.
That is amazing. Yeah. And you were telling me, what was it? Smash something?
Yeah. Smash-it. Smash it. Yeah.
Smash it.com.
Yeah.
Smashit.com, which is a great website anyway.
Yeah.
And this thing you said, he kind of had the idea in the 80s.
I think that, you know, I was a young kid.
Yeah.
And so that entrepreneurship mindset, innovation, you know, was that seed was planted early on as a young kid. I want to say that idea germinated in the 80s, and then in the 90s is when things, you know, really became incorporated.
And let's talk about that, folks. He was a surgeon. You might say, well, he's probably making some good, solid, safe, secure money. He had no risk, meaning, you know, entrepreneurship is risky. You gotta say, well, even I'm gonna spend time thinking about the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent time, then he talked to engineers,
mm-hmm.
then he probably built what we call an MVP, a minimum viable product, or mm-hmm. a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. And why is this strategic, folks? Because I was telling Brian that although his dad wasn't active surgeon during COVID, probably.
Mm-hmm, right. He retired.
Yeah. But we are in these situations where some people literally were told by the government, you can't work.
Right.
So like that job that you thought, that predictable income mm-hmm. that you thought, like mm-hmm. it's done.
Right.
And you saw how that rightfully so crushed some people.
Yeah.
But when you have an e-mind mm-hmm. like your dad, it's like, oh, this door is closed. Now I'm going to pivot
right.
and go in that other
right.
area.
Well, it's like when I was a faculty member, I would tell my students, when you run up against a brick wall, you have a choice. You can turn around and go back home and just say, I'm done, pack it up.
Yeah.
Or you can find a way up, over, around, or through it.
Yes.
You know, and the people who are successful are going to find that way.
That's right.
As you talked about with that MVP, with that prototype, we constantly, they're in the garage, there were prototypes hanging.
Wow.
Out. And you could see how they, and I remember him and my brother talking all the time about, okay, well, that didn't work. What if he did this? What if he tried this kind of container? What if we tried this type of hydraulic? You know, always trying to find ways to make it better.
I love that. And that's a legacy. For like you said, your dad might not have thought, oh, Brian's watching or everything, but I see that with my kids mm-hmm. where we'll get news of something, some bad news. And I let my kids in to know about the business at times,
mm-hmm.
but we had one time, you know, a certain bestseller list just shut down
mm-hmm.
and like overnight we're talking a whole line of our business is now done.
Oh, wow.
And so you have to make it up
right.
on the spot,
yep.
or you can just be like, well, you know, life's against me and I'm going to give up.
Yeah.
What brought you to Cedarville? Cause we were chatting and you've only been here a year, even though you're alumni, what was intriguing for you to say, I'm going to invest my life here?
Well, my family, most of my family lives in Ohio or near Ohio. We had previously been in Texas for 13 years.
Wow.
Had a wonderful, time there working at Lamar University as faculty and then up and through administration.
Nice.
And, you know, the Lord had closed a lot of doors along the way. We had been looking for different opportunities to see if we can get back to the Midwest. But a couple of years ago, you know, the Lord opened this door and it was wide open. And it was an opportunity to look at doing something new and different. I had been on the faculty side and the academic administration side of things, and looking now at enrollment and more on the staff side of the university house, really was intriguing to me. And even within, as I'm learning, because this is a tremendous amount of information to process and to learn. I did not come in as an enrollment specialist.
Right. You had to think like an entrepreneur.
Oh, yes. Yes. And thankfully, I have, you know, wonderful people that I get to work with, like Dr. Suplee, who's been on the podcast, who, you know, mentor me, you know, through that process. But the amount of freedom that I have within the position to try things,
that's cool,
is great. And so,
but see, that's a big point right there. I echo your thoughts that Cedarville is attractive for entrepreneurial minded faculty and staff. Mm-hmm. You don't always find that. Mm-hmm. There's certain places where you're basically told, you know, here's the marching orders. And if you step outside, you're going to get hit on the head.
Yeah, that is not what I've experienced here.
Yeah.
And wonderful colleagues across all of the different departments and programs. And I love, that's actually one of the things I love about being in administration, whether it be here at Cedarville or my previous roles at Lamar, is that I get to sit down with people across the table who are in a different discipline and say, okay, here's our common problem. We both do not like the current situation. We need to find a way to solve it.
Wow.
What can we do together?
That's good.
And that, you know, and the problems are difficult, and sometimes we can't solve them.
Right.
You know, initially, but then we continue thinking, well, how can we make it better for right now?
Yep.
And there are some limitations that you have to exercise patience. But being able to reach across the table and say, okay, how can we help one another? And that's truly one of the things that I find very special about Cedarville, is that I cannot, in my year plus that I've been here, I haven't had anybody say, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
That no, Brian, that's a bad idea. It's usually, well, that's an interesting thought. I like the idea behind that. What are some ways we can develop that?
That's good.
Usually we end up with something better than what I had originally thought anyway.
I love it.
But a lot of it is me just asking questions and learning right now.
Well, folks, I think that I love what Brian's sharing. Personally, he had a choice with his doctorate. Do I go the easy way? Do I go the way that takes a little bit more time and energy, but it has a long-term contribution effect? So that's cool. Secondly, I'm taking away that your dad, rather than just run into a problem, which most people, I mean, let's face it, every day we run into problems, but most people say that's someone else's thing to fix. They complain, or they hire somebody, right? And there's a time to hire out things that aren't your specialty, but for whatever reason, this smash it idea is so cool. I'm going to keep that story for a long time. And how cool is it that your brother still runs it?
Oh, no, it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, he's just taking the torch and run with it, you know?
That's cool. You think someday his kids might too? Or, you know, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I just want to encourage you folks, as you're watching this, you may be saying, hey, is grad school for me? Maybe you've been thinking about, maybe you haven't, but I love what you said, that it doesn't mean you have to pick up and move to Cedarville and do residency here. Mm-hmm. You That's at right. the grad school department have made this very accessible.
Well, and so the degree is accessible, but then the faculty are accessible, not just during the degree, but after the degree.
Wow.
And so you kind of, it's kind of a lifelong mentor,
Yeah.
like the, okay, maybe you don't talk for 2 or 3 years, but then something comes up and you say, wow, I really want to reach out to Dr. Delano and see what
Yeah.
he, or Dr. Heyman,
Yeah.
and say, well, what, here's an idea. What do you think?
I'm getting that now. I'm getting people I don't even know, and they're saying, "Hey, I'm alone."
Yeah,
And I'm
sure.
like, "Sweet,
That's right.
let's
It's
chat."
an incredible resource. The university is an incredible resource.
Yeah.
It starts with the learning and the knowledge, but it's so much more than that.
So good. Well, folks, check out cedarville.edu. And right there, they have a tab at the top about grad school.
Yeah, or you can just search for graduate school. Yeah.
How many, as we close here, how many programs do you think you might have?
So we have over 30 different programs or emphases or
Wow.
sort of certifications that are
And
available.
I see, even saw a recent one on leadership.
Yep, that's right.
And that to me, man, I saw that. That's exciting. So, Dr. Brian Shook, thanks for being here today. And everybody who's been watching, if you know somebody who needs to consider Cedarville grad school, tag him, or maybe this story about his dad encouraged you, or even his own journey. So take care, be a soul on fire, and keep thinking like an entrepreneur.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.